Amen. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bible this morning, turn with us to Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the Bible says, "The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and laid off his robe from him, and covered himself with sackcloth, and set in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them. And he did it not." I want to preach this morning for just a minute, if God will be my help, on this thought. When revival comes. Amen. When revival comes. Now we see this in this picture of Jonah, and we know that he run from the Lord. And sometimes it's easy for us to look down on Jonah and say, "Boy, he shouldn't have done that." But I want to ask you just go back and check up. How many times have you run from the Lord? How many times has God spoke to you? How many times has God directed you and you took off in a different direction? Amen. Because sometimes our way seems like it's easier than his way, but really it's not in the end. The best way to live is to live for God. Amen. Let the Lord live in our heart. But the Bible tells us here that Jonah ran from God. He got away from God. He went to Tarshish, got on a boat, bought a ticket, paid the fare, and went and headed exactly the opposite direction of where God wanted him to be. I mean, I won't say that's what God, that's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to run away from God. We ought to be running to God. Amen. Amen. These last days which we live, it's dispensation of grace. We need to be closer to the Lord than we've ever been. Yes, sir. This world that we live in is a crazy place. Yes. Did I get amen right there? Amen. We're living in a world that's crazy. People's lost their mind. I mean, there's no common sense. Common sense ain't common no more. Amen. Used to it was about God and godliness. Amen. It made the difference. Well, we've got away from that. We've lost our minds. But we see this. See Jonah. That you know the story. They took him out of the boat. They throwed him in. He was swallowed up by a great fish, a whale. Amen. And he prayed to God and got and three after 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Praise God. God vomited the whale. Vomited him up on the beach and gave Jonah a second chance. Now, I preached on this a while back about a renewed commission about 3 or 4 months ago out of this. But I was looking at this this week, and I was thinking about how we need for revival. And when revival comes, what it'll cause in the hearts and the minds of people. And the Bible says here that in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, "When the Lord spake unto the fish, it vomited Jonah up on dry land." Verse 3, chapter 3, verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time." Jonah gets a second chance. Amen. I'm glad for second and third and fourth chances. Amen. I'm glad God come spoke to my heart. I told you when God was speaking to me, I was running hard as I could go. And it wasn't to him either. It was away from God. You say, "Preacher, you proud of that?" No, that was the worst time of my life. Amen. I'll just tell you for a fact, it was the worst time of my life when I was running from God. You can ask my wife. I was as miserable as could be, and I made her miserable. I don't see how she put up with me. She'd have been justified just to knock me in the head in my sleep, put me out of her misery. But praise God, I'm glad one day I come to myself, like old prodigal, praise God, and I realized that there was a better way than my way. And the Lord Jesus Christ began to move my heart and point me in the direction he'd have me to go. And so I began to take my second chance. There was a stern revival down in my soul. And I realized, I said, "Lord, I know that you're the best part. And you want to be the best part of my life." And I submitted myself to him. And it's been a joy ever since. So we see the Bible tells us that he got his second chance. He went to that great city, that city of Nineveh. a great city, and he preached unto it the preaching that I bid him. Now this is God speaking. And he told him, arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach in it the preaching that I bid thee. He said, what I've told you to do, he said, I want you to do. He said, I'm giving you a second chance. And he said, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach the gospel, teach the word to Nineveh, what I've told you. And the Bible says that Jonah rose and he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. So this time, instead of running away from him, he run to it. This time he run into that what God would have told him to do. He went in the direction that God would have him to go. I want to say, praise God, that's what we need to do today, is go in the direction God wants us to go. And then these people all around us today is trying to dictate us and what they think we ought to do. Amen. But I want to say, praise God, there's a God that's always a calling us unto Him. He's always wanting us to get closer to Him. He'll never push us away. He'll never drive you away. He'll continually allure you and draw you and call you unto Himself to get closer and closer. If there's ever anything that we've ever needed in the day and hour that we live, it's that close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that fixes things. He's the one that mends hearts. He's the one that changes lives. He's the one that puts things back together again, and we need Him like we've never needed Him before. We need Him in this nation. We need Him in the church house. We need Him at my house, praise God, because He's the one that makes the difference. Amen. I thank God for the Word of God, don't you? It's that stirs in our heart. It gives us that direction that we need. Amen. And he said that Jonah goes in there, and he said it was at that exceeding great city. Now, the history tells us that there was probably over 1 million people that lived in Nineveh. Amen? And God had done told Jonah to go and preach what I bid you to preach unto Nineveh. And the Bible says in verse 4 that Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, now I want you to notice his message. Amen. Now he goes in there in one day's preaching. Hello? He don't hold a month revival to try to get their attention. That nowadays it takes 3 or 4 days or a week of stirring just to get most folks in. Amen. To where they can begin to get realize that they need to get help from the Lord. But he said he went in a day's journey and he began to preach the gospel, and he cried and said, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, how do you like this prophet's message? Amen. He says, praise God. He said, 40 days. He said, you've got 40 days, and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Amen. Now, he never gave them no options. He never gave them no change of hope. He never gave them any speculation of what could be the outcome of everything. Praise God. He said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And but do you know what took place? The Bible tells us here, and this is what I want to look at this morning for a few minutes, if God will be my help, is when revival comes, when revival takes charge, when revival takes over, praise God. It don't take a whole lot of hoopla. It don't take a whole lot of stirring up. It don't take a whole lot of coasting, praise God. When the Holy Ghost of God moves on people, praise the Lord, and He begins to stir down in the depths of our soul, praise God, it don't take you long till you get to shouting. It don't take you long, praise God, you realize that there's something that's real, praise God, that's got a hold of you. Amen. It won't let you go. And it's there to help you. It's there to encourage you. It's there to point you the way. Amen. I'm glad there's a way this morning. Ain't you? I'm glad there's a godly way that makes a difference. So we see the Bible tells us here in verse 4 that he preached this message. 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown. But look what happens in verse 5. And so the people of Nineveh. Amen. Now watch this. Little word so. See, that changes the whole direction and the theme of things. Amen. He said so. He said 40 days. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And he says so the people of Nineveh. What'd they do? They believe God. Amen. Praise God. He said, hey, listen, yet 40 days and Nineveh's going to be overthrown. Amen. And he left it with them, praise God, without any hope, without any speculation, without anything, praise God, to ease their fears, praise the Lord. He said, yet 40 days. I won't say glory to God. What we need to do in the day and the hour with him, when darkness is all around us, we need to be telling our people, praise God, that there is a hell to shun and a heaven to gain, praise God, and need to choose one or the other. Amen. Amen. It's time to make a decision. The Lord Jesus Christ came and he loved us and he died for us, praise God. It's time to get on his side and head for glory. Amen. Amen. I like that glory road, don't you? Yes, amen. I like the side that's got a shout, not a pout. Amen. Amen. I don't care much about a pouting crowd. And I like a shouting crowd, praise God. I like a crowd that'll shout and praise God and recognize the goodness of our Savior, what he done for us on the cross of Calvary, what he's doing for us now. And he sat at the right hand of the Father to make media as a mediator one for me. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, that does something to my soul. That stirs me from the inside out, praise God. But the Bible says that the soul of the people of Nineveh believed God. They believed God. What are you saying, preacher? I said, I believe them Ninevites was soundly saved. Amen? Just as soundly saved as you or I could be. You say, well, preacher, I don't know. Praise God. These are pretty wicked people. Praise God, we were too. We are too. Amen? You say, well, those Assyrians, they were a bloody people. They were a savage people. Amen? Praise God, if we're left to ourselves, we will be too. Amen? I tell you what, in this flesh, we can do some pretty mean and hateful things. Amen. Amen. If left to ourselves, Brother Bill, we can be pretty spiteful and mean people. Amen. Just like the Ninevites. Amen. But praise God, the Bible says that they believed God. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if they were saved or not. Amen. Just because they believed God. The Bible said Abraham believed God and is counting him for righteousness. Amen. So if Abraham believed God and he was counting him, put on his account for righteous in the eyes of God, praise God, why couldn't these Ninevites, praise God, be saved also? Amen. Praise God. You say, well, how do you know? Because it takes faith to believe on God. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But when we can't be pleasing to God till we believe on God. Amen. We believe on him with our hearts. We believe on him with our minds, praise God. We believe on him with our soul. Every fiber in us, praise God, believes that there is a God and he's real. And he's in heaven, praise God, to take care of you and me. Amen. We was talking in Sunday school about how God created everything. Talking about the love of God. He created everything for you and I. Amen. God did that for us. And the same God that done that for you and I done it for the Ninevites. Amen. That old savage, bloody people, praise God, didn't deserve a second chance, praise God. If old Jonah would have never went over and preached, they said they didn't deserve preaching. But praise God, God Almighty, when he got a hold of that old prophet and went in the wrong direction and got him straightened out, praise God, he said, now what about Nineveh? Amen. I'm glad one night, praise God, when the world had done said, forget about Jeff Massey. He's not worth nothing, praise God. But they was a God of heaven and put some little old preacher, praise God, and said, just preach to him. He said, what about Jeff? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost of God stirred in my heart. Amen. They was looking for a national overthrow. They was expecting it. Amen. But what they got was not a national overthrow in the physical perspective, but they got a national overthrow in the spiritual sense, praise God. You know what could happen in America today, praise God? We could take America back with the Word of God and the things of God and living for God, praise God. We could take it back. Yeah. Amen. You say, preacher, it's just impossible. It'll never happen. Amen. You're a limiting God. Amen. We're a limiting God. Now I know the Bible, Jesus said the world won't be saved. But praise God, these communities, these places, praise God, where God's Word is real, where God's Word is preached, where God's Word is believed, and people are being saved. Amen. Amen. What do you have to do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. That's how you're saved. That's the only way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh Father but by me. He said, I'm the only way. He said, how do you get there? But through the Lord Jesus Christ. Been believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you shall be saved. Amen. That's how we get there. He said, hey, listen. He said, yet that 40 days. They was looking for a national overthrow. They said, oh my goodness, who's going to come in and take over? Now these are a bloody, savage people. They were a fighting people. That's what they lived for, was the battle. Amen? But something took place. What took place? They believed God. Amen? You can take the vilest, wickedest, meanest, hatefulest person in the world, praise God, and I'd rather cut you and beat you and shoot you, praise God, than anything else. And God Almighty, through the Holy Ghost of God, get a hold of their heart, save their wicked soul from a devil's hell, praise God, and they change that person, or they can where you can sit with them on a Baptist church, on a pew, praise God, and shout the praises of the Lord together. Amen. Amen. How do you get there, preacher? Through faith, praise God. Amen. That's what it takes for a coming revival. Amen. That faith, believing on, trusting in the Lord. The Bible said they believed God. Not only did the Bible said they believed God, but said they proclaimed a fast. Amen. Not only did they have faith, but they had a fast. Amen. They got God got their attention. And they began to put away some things. Begin to get rid of some things. Begin to take charge of their life. Begin to take control. Instead of going like we are today. The Bible said in the last days we'll be running to and fro. So we're going here and there just trying to like a dog chasing a car. And we wouldn't know what to do with it if we caught it. And that's the way we all are. But the Bible says here, praise God, that they proclaimed a fast. I won't say praise God, there's a spirit of revival coming when we start getting rid of some things. Amen. We start fasting and praying. Amen. The Bible says that they had a national repentance. Amen. You say, well, that can't happen. That can happen. Amen. When people get their hearts right with God, said they proclaimed a fast to put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Amen. It started to praise God. I don't know if it started at the bottom, went to the top, or started top, went to the bottom. But I know there was a proclamation went out from the king. And he said, everybody, stop what you're doing. Quit running around in the madness that we're in. He said, I want you to take off your robes from you. Put on sackcloth. And I sat in ashes. Put ashes on your head, praise God. And pray and seek the God of heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what happened in a life, in our hearts, our lives, and our homes today. Praise God. If we believe on God and we proclaim a fast, amen, in our life. Amen. Putting away some things. Getting rid of some things. Some sidelines some things. Put them out of the way. So we can concentrate on the good God of heaven. So we see that they begin to proclaim a fast. The Bible says, for word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he rose from his throne and laid his robe from him. Amen. You know what that took? I told you before, that took humility. Amen. What's wrong with the world today? We don't have no humility. If we got humility, praise God, we can put aside all this little petty stuff that so easily besets us. Amen. Do you hear what I said? We can put aside all the little petty stuff that so easily besets us, and we come in and praise God together. Amen. Praise God, looking for a spirit of revival. When revival comes, it'll make a difference. He said, covered him with sackcloth and set in ashes. The Bible said, he caused a proclamation. Now watch this. Now you see this old bloody people. Old bloody, wicked, violent people. And he said he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. And but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in his in their hands. So he said, listen, said there was it was proclaimed a national day of repentance. Amen. What would happen? I got to thinking about this. I wonder what happened if everybody in the United States sat down, praise God, and began to look at themselves. I don't know if that could ever happen because we're all the time wanting to look at everybody else. Amen. I want to try to pick out all your faults. I tell you, the one I have the most problem with is the one I shave every day. Amen. The faults and the failures and shortcomings that I have in my life. But what if we sat down one day and looked at ourselves and say, Lord, forgive me, a sinner. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me of my transgression. Forgive me for every time I've ever missed the mark, God. Amen. What would happen, Brother Rex, if a whole community gathered together and said, Lord, forgive us, old sinners. Amen. Pray God, Holy Ghost revival would break out. You say, you believe it? I know that. God's promised that. He said, if my people would call my name, will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. And I'll heal their land. Praise God. God says, I've got the cure for everything that ails you. Praise God. But he said there was a national repentance. You say, how do you know, preacher, it's true repentance? They even thought about their animals. Amen. They even cared about the little animals. Amen. I'm talking about a genuine conversion. It'll make you think about the little animals. Amen. Have more love, more compassion, even for the little animals. He said, preacher, you an animal lover? Yeah, I love them. They're good on the plate. Amen. There's a whole of them. I'm part of PETA. People eating tasty animals. Ain't that what that stands for? Amen. I love them with all my heart. Praise God. They are good. God put them here for us. Praise God. But he said they was this old bloodthirsty, this old unrighteous, this old ungodly people. Praise God. When God got a hold of their heart, they begin to repent. They begin to even think about their animals. God brought them full circle. Praise God. He said that creation, that he put us over, praise God, to take care of and to be the maintainer of, praise God. He said he put them on their heart. That's a work of righteousness, amen, that God done in their heart. Praise the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, the Bible says, a righteous man regardeth the life of his beast. Amen. When a man gets a right with God, when the righteousness of God is in your heart, praise God, he said he regarded the health and the well-being of his beast. Amen. You know how to take care? You know, they're all the time wanting to take care of little animals. You know how they take care of little animals? Praise God, getting people to the Lord. Holy Ghost of God moves in your house, praise God, and you'll learn to love everything. You'll learn to help take care of everything, praise God. Everything you see around you, you'll want to help with. Amen. There'll be no more discouragement. There'll be no turn down. There'll be no more neglect, praise God. When God gets a hold of our heart, we'll want to do what's right. Amen. I know that's right, praise God. We'll want to do right, praise God, when we get saved. They was talking about... Years ago, they was talking about right at the turn of the century, 20th century. They had the great revivals in Wales, and said those Welsh people were coming to those revivals, and said they was old wicked miners that was down in those pits. They was digging out that coal, and said them they got to coaxing them and encourage them, and they got them old wicked vile miners to come out of them mines, and they got them down to the meeting house, got them down to the tents and to the revival places, and them old miners begin to get saved by God's amazing grace. Amen. Amen. Just as vile and wicked as could be. Amen. Said they went back to the mines where their prospective place of work, and they went in the mine, and they said them little old mine ponies that they had to pull those carts of coal out with. Amen. Those little mine ponies that they had abused and kicked and cursed for all these years, that was took in there when they was little bitty colts to pull out those carts, and that's all they knew was the darkness of that mine and the darkness of those people that was around them, and the hatefulness and the bitterness and the cantankerness and the foul language, praise God, that come out of their mouth. And they said that when those fellas got a hold of their heart and he changed them from the inside out, he said they went back into those mines and they went in there, praise God, with the marvelous light of the Holy Ghost of God. And so they went in there and said them ponies didn't know what to do. Amen. Said them little old pit ponies was confounded. They had never seen it on this fashion before. They wasn't being cursed. They wasn't being kicked. They wasn't being beaten. He said, preacher, what happened? Revival, praise God. Holy Ghost stirring. Salvation of the soul, praise God. Amen. Said they had to, Brother Chris, they had to retrain those pit ponies. Amen. They wasn't used to the kindness and the love and the compassion that come back from praise. Glory be to God. Come back from the meeting house. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I said, God, Holy Ghost of God, saves your soul. It don't take you 20 or 30 years, praise God, to get right with God. Right. Amen. The righteousness of God be given to you the day you get saved. Amen. Praise God. You say, preacher, I ain't got that yet. I'm pretty mean, hateful, and cantankerous. Praise God, maybe you need to get saved. Amen. He changes you when you get saved. Said them old fellas went back, praise God. Them little, I can just imagine them little old pit ponies. They're like, who in the world are these fellas? I've never heard such language from them. And it wasn't bad language, praise God. It was, hello, little fella. How are you doing today? Here, I got to thinking about you last night, amen, after me. I brought you an apple. Here's your handful of those. It'll give you glory. It'll give you what you need to go today. Amen. We're going to get in here. We're going to work together. And we'll drag this coal out of here for the glory of God. Could you imagine them little old ponies, praise God? But let me tell you what. Could you imagine some little old boy, some little old girl, some little old family member, praise God, if they see a difference in you, see a changed life in you, praise God, see the love and compassion of God. When revival comes, praise God, it'll make a difference in our lives. Amen. And them little pit ponies come out of there. I guess they was rejoicing in themselves. They'd never been treated like this before. I mean, they still had to go through the toils and the trials of the workplace. But there's a different attitude. Amen. I want to say today, praise God, when revival comes, I believe there'll be a different attitude. Amen. When we receive God in faith, when we believe the Lord. Amen. When we receive the hope of faith that God gives us. Amen. You know there's a hope of faith. In verse 9, the king says this. Amen. In verse 8, he said, let men and beasts be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yet let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Amen. He said, let everybody, everyone, no exceptions. Say, we've got to put aside the wickedness and the violence and the hatred and the malice. Amen. From among us. He says, verse 9, he said, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? The king's saying here, he said, hey, listen. He said, let's just have the hope of faith. That hope of faith, that's faith with expectation. Amen. He says, pray. In order to have that, they had to have the faith to begin with. Had to have the faith to know that there's a God and that they believe God. Amen. And believe God was able to take and to harm and to punish. But praise God, God was also God that was able to, through repentance, through fasting, pray, and would be able to bring them out, glory to God. The God of wrath was also God of mercy. And the king said, who can tell, amen, if God will turn and repent. Amen. He said, who can know if God will relent just a little bit? If God would be willing just to let up just a little bit. Amen. He said, God can begin to let up, praise God, when we begin to live up to His expectations. What God commands us to do, praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to God. With the help of the Lord, we can do it. So not only does they have the faith and they have the fasting, but they have the forgiving. The forgiveness. Amen. The Bible says in verse 10, and God saw their works. Amen. So we see the act of forgiveness. We see that God saw their works. Now listen, God is an immutable God. Amen. In His nature and in His will is immutable. God doesn't change. God doesn't change for nobody. God doesn't change for anyone. But God had made an opportunity, and for Nineveh, just like God makes an opportunity for you and for I, praise God. Amen. Amen. To choose the way that He'd have us to go. God's immutable. He's mutable in His nature. He's mutable in His will. But His sentence that He had on Nineveh was conditional. Amen. Do you realize God? Just about all of God's sentences are conditional. And if you look at Jonah chapter 4, now Jonah lays this out here. In verse 2, he said, and he prayed. You know, after he became angry and after he got mad at God because he didn't kill all those wicked Assyrians dead. Amen. He went, could you imagine going to listen to a preacher, praise God, that hated your guts? Now, I love yous to death. I love every one of yous. I love you with all my heart, praise God. I'd die for you. I would. But could you imagine if I was your pastor and I hated your guts? And I said, praise God, yet 40 days and you're all going to die. And wishing down in my heart, praise God, that you would. Huh? That's the kind of prophet that they got. That's the kind of preacher that they got. That's the kind of preaching that they got. He said, yeah, 40 days and you're all going to die. Amen. went up, sat on a hill, left it with them. No means of hope, no encouragement, no exhortation. But listen to what he says. He prayed unto the Lord, chapter 4 and verse 2. And said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious man and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Amen. He said, I knew you would do this. Amen. He said, I knew you'd do this. He said, it was conditional. He said, I knew you'd offer a condition, amen, for repentance. And they would take the offering, amen. They would repent and get right with God. Instead of saying, glory to God, thank God they did. He goes up and sits down and pouts about it. Amen. Could you imagine if I got up here and preached my heart out and three or four people come out of the pew weeping, crying up here and fell down at an old-fashioned altar and got saved by God's marvelous grace. And I got up here and sat down and said, there you go, God, I told you they'd get saved. Amen. What are we going to do now? Praise God, we're going to rejoice. Be happy in the Lord. He went and pouted because he said, Lord, I told you what they'd do. But see, God had done, the sentence was conditional. It's what he was telling us. It was conditioned on what God was saying, and if God would be relenting, amen, to repentance. Yeah. Amen. Amen. God is. Praise the Lord. And the pronouncement of God had given. Amen. We see this principle. We see this principle played out many times. Look at Jeremiah. You remember the old potter? The potter's hands in Jeremiah chapter 18. Said the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, verse 2, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. Now Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, go down to the potter's house and pay attention to what the potter's doing. And Jeremiah gets down there and the potter's got a work on the wheel, on the potter's wheel. And verse 4 said, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Amen. Then the word, he said the potter had a vessel he was making. It was messed up. And so the potter remakes that vessel. Amen. It's the potter's option. Amen. To make it another vessel. He said, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel. At what instance I shall speak concerning a nation, now watch this, and concerning a kingdom, to pluck it up, to pull it down, and to destroy it. Now watch this. If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Amen. And at that end, at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation, concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it. If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I repent of the good whereof I had said I would benefit them. Says, what does God do? Says God offers conditions. Amen. And when we don't meet up to the conditions that God offers, praise God. He said, hey, listen, if you'll do what I tell you to do, I can build you up. He said, but if you go against what I tell you, he said, I can tear you down. Amen. Amen. He said, I can take you up on the mountaintop, praise God. He said, I can put you down in the valley. He said, glory be to God. Yeah. He said, it's God's option, praise God. It's a condition that he gives us. But God doesn't change, praise the Lord. You say, well, preacher, what does he do? What does he do with Jeremiah? What does he do with Isaiah? What does he do with Jonah and the other prophets, praise God? He offers us up godly warnings. Yeah. Amen. He warns us of what's to come. He warns us of what he'd have us to do. God doesn't change. Hello? God is immutable. God can't change. So he gives us warnings. Amen. He gives men, he gives you and I opportunity for us to change. Right. What a God. Yeah. Amen. He's immutable. He doesn't change, but He gives us an opportunity. He shows us how to change. He gives us opportunity for us to change. Amen. Praise God. His immutability, His holiness depends on that sin would be punished. Sin does not go unpunished. Amen. But because God is God, amen, He equally immutable, praise God, in His love and His justice that He ministers to us. The demand that He has, that when a sinner repents, praise God, God forgives him.
Amen.
Amen. God, that God of love, that God of justice, praise God, He forgives old sinners. Ain't you glad He does? Praise God. When revival comes, praise God, it's because of faith that we have, because of that sacrifice, the fasting that we make, getting rid of the stuff in the life, praise God, getting a close up with God, amen, and praise God, seeing His mighty hand move and seeing the forgiveness of God, the forgiveness of an immutable God, a God that never changes. Ain't you glad for that?
Amen.
Because His love for you and I will always be consistent. Amen. It'll always be. It doesn't change. You say, well, sometimes they just don't feel like He loves me. Well, it's probably because before that, it didn't seem like you loved Him.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. There's been many a time, Brother Chris, in my life, it didn't seem like my mom and daddy loved me. When they'd take a keen hickory switch and wear my legs out, I couldn't find much love in that at the time. Amen. But now when I look back at it, Brother Bill, I realize, praise God, they loved me a whole bunch, because if it hadn't been for them, praise God, I'd have been a whole lot worse off than I was.
Amen.
What are you saying, preacher? You believe in that whipping youngins? Praise God. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Amen. If you don't chastise them, if you don't get their attention, praise God, you'll destroy them. A child left himself brings his mother to shame. Daddy too. I thank God, praise God, Mom and Daddy seen fit. Now, my daddy never did whoop me much. Amen. He kind of petted me a lot. Amen. About two times I'll remember Dad ever gave me a whooping. But now my mama would wear me out. She said, your daddy may let you get by with that. That's all she had to say. She didn't have to finish the sentence. But she didn't. She'd come in there at that keen hickory switch, boy, and she'd stripe them legs. I'd dance a jig around the circle. Amen. But praise God, I thank God for every dance I had with my mama. Praise God. Oh, she was showing me that she loved me, that she cared for me. Every time God chastised, every time God brings us through, thank praise God, two things that He might bring us through, praise God, He's just showing us that He loves us.
Amen.
Amen. And He gives up. Why? Because He's immutable, because He doesn't change. But through God, He gives us an opportunity for us to change, for us to make an informed decision so we can keep going in the right direction. There's a way that's right in this world, praise God, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we repent of our sins, the equal immutability of God, the love and the justice that He has to show to us, praise God, He offers forgiveness to old sinners. Ain't you glad He does? That He offers forgiveness to sinners like you and I. He gives us an opportunity to repent of our sin and be saved. He gives us an opportunity to repent of our sin and be hooked back up with Him so that line of communication is not broken. Amen. You say, well, preacher, it's been a long time since I've talked to God. Well, maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's something in your life, praise God. And an immutable God, He's given you an opportunity to get that out of the way. Amen. He's still waiting right where you left Him. Amen. He's still right where you left Him. God hasn't changed. God doesn't love you any less than He ever did. Amen. He loved us. He loved you and I from the foundation of the world. And He said, John is telling us here, he said, the marvelous love of God, even when I was an old hard-hearted, rebellious prophet, the marvelous love of God was ministered to these Ninevites. And they seen that an opportunity that maybe, because of faith, because they believe God, because of fasting, getting rid of some things, praise God, putting down some things for a while to think about the things of God, that forgiveness would come. Amen. I think He's a God of heaven. He's looking to offer us forgiveness so that our whole life could be changed, So our attitude, our way of talking, our way of walking, our way of acting, praise God, will be made different than what it's been. You say, preacher, how could it be like them old Welsh miners? When God Almighty got a hold of her heart, praise God, He changed them from the inside out. They went back to them mine pits, praise God. The darkness was still there, but praise God, they was a marvelous light that go in with you. I want to say, praise God, according to the Word of God, that the Holy Ghost of God move in your heart, and there's a light, and there's a marvelous light to go with you everywhere you go. And it'll illuminate your path. It'll light your way so that you can see your way to the Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever and ever. When revival comes, amen, that light will be turned on. And praise God, there's nothing can turn the light out but our own hard-heartedness. Amen. As long as our heart stays true. You know, the Bible tells us that later on, God did have to deal with Nineveh. Later on, God did have to beat that nation down because of their hard-heartedness that come back. But praise God, Bible says we're not of those that go back to perdition. We're not the ones that go back to that old way. He said we're those that press on with our eyes on Jesus. How did Jesus become an example for you and I? Because He kept His eyes on His Father. He said, not my will but thine be done. Amen. He was looking to do the will of the Father. And He kept His eyes on His Heavenly Father in heaven. And Jesus persevered. He pressed on, praise God. And He finished His course. He kept the faith. Amen. And He showed us the way. He paved the way for us. Amen. When revival comes, that's the way it'll come. It'll come through our faith, believing on God. It'll come through our fasting, putting things away, and getting ready to receive what God's got for us. And it'll come from just magnifying and bless His name. And it'll come from that forgiveness that He has to give to us. So that we can just shout and say, God did that for me. And we can tell somebody, say, God will do that for you too. God has forgiveness to give to everybody around. And when we get forgiven, when we get right in our hearts, then God can send the Holy Ghost revival. And when revival comes, praise God. Well, what a blessing it is. Amen. Stand with me this morning.